There you go. Okay. All right, we are back from our much-needed recess.
All right.
We're on to the forecast. When at the end of each year, you have to flip it to next year, and you've got to put in the actuals from the previous fiscal year. So 2010 is, that's 2009-2010 school year. So you're looking at FY10. All those numbers are the actual numbers that we had at the end of the year. So you can see where, when Larry was talking about employee benefits only going up the $400,000, that's what, or $400, that's what it was. This year, what I've done is on this first flip, this is the original flip, you'll see that it looks really, we're pretty good. Let me move it down a little bit for you. But there's a $3 million deficit as of the end of fiscal year 11, which will be next, or 12, next year. This is fiscal year 11 now. So on that first flip, we were $3.1 million in the negative. And it was just from moving everybody over. And then each year, you take your personnel services, the employee benefits, those are figured on this year's plus a percentage of whatever we've got into the forecast. That increases. So that was the first flip. Also up there in the unrestricted grants and aids, there was a lot of information in there because of changing from the PAC, from SF3 to the PAS. We had to do a lot of changing in there.
So this is the first full year of funding through the PAS formula?
FY10 was the first year of PAS. FY11 is second year. And you have to really, you have to go in and change quite a few different numbers in there because of the PAS formulas are totally different than what the SF3 are, so we've got to go in and work with it. So as I work through it, the property tax, we put a minus 5% in our valuation. This is our year for the update in 10, calendar year 10, to be collected in 11. What I've been hearing, we've heard that we won't have any kind of increase or any kind of decrease. The last I talked with the county auditor's office, we'll probably end up maybe a $1.1 million decrease in valuations. I don't know where it's at, so I'm not changing that until we get those numbers. We should have those probably by the end of, I would say at least middle of September estimates, and then they'll get the finals come in December. So we'll use the estimates when we do the October forecast that we have to submit. That also goes for tangible amounts in there now, starting this year. There's no changes in that. That's only the utility tangible tax. There's no taxes on any at the business level. If you see 2 years ago, then this past year, now you're looking at the same percentage, the same amount practically. It's $1.7 million. So that amount has decreased immensely through the years. So then on the unrestricted grants and aids, what I did was I went back through to look at everything and say, okay, something's not right here. And it was just the way that the past was pulling our number of students in. We still have some numbers in there that I'm working with the special ed department on the number of students that they count for to special ed. Those weren't all in there last year like they should have, so that could have been throwing it out. I'm not so sure about that. So what I did was I entered the actual amount in the unrestricted grant tab, and I'll show you this right here. I went through and I said, okay, this is 15.35 is what we ended up having in there. So I entered this amount, which is what was on our past formula as of July. I take out whatever our stimulus is, and that's more than what we thought it was going to be by about $150,000. And then we have to add back in our preschool units, our special ed transportation. We have to take out our career tech, and then our adjustments from the settlement sheets. And those are mainly, those also are special ed type settlement changes. Students going to other districts, or students that we have more students at are at Harold Lewis and than what we had back in 1998. That's mainly where that adjustment comes from. What else? If we look at this spreadsheet here, we've got $13 million here. That's already taken into consideration at the State Department. They're saying that we may have anywhere from 10 to 30% decrease. So what was in there, figured in on the past formula, I left it there. Until we see exactly what comes in and double check those numbers with what happens that October count week, I'm just going to leave it there for right now.
So what does that number assume, that there is a decrease? Or
there is a decrease in state funding next year.
Right, and by how much did you, what percentage-wise are you assuming?
I left that at where it had flipped from in 2011 from the number of students based on what, I think it's a 5% on your total amount of money per student.
Okay.
And so that's where that's at.
Okay.
I also took out our stimulus dollars, so that million... 86,000, that's also coming out of there. So those two, that's one area that I'm going to be paying very close attention to in the next couple months to see if this amount is really where they think it's going to be.
That's a $2 million swing potentially there, that if, I mean, that's basically has us in 2012 at worst case?
Yes, I would say that's a worst case with the State Foundation money. So as we go back to the revenue side, the other area that you need to take a look at is this property tax allocation. Remember when the state said they're going to hold us harmless.
Yeah.
For losing our taxes on tangible personal property? It goes back into this amount. Well, we're only receiving in 2015 $1.2 million from personal tangible. In 2008, we were getting 5.3, and we'd already had 2 years of big drops. Now we're only going to receive 6.6 million, and this year we're getting 10.7, which is the highest year that between these three right here. It's all going to be real close right now. So that's a $4 million drop. That's not a hold harmless as far as I'm concerned. So there's another area that we have to pay attention to in the coming years. We're working as a superintendent treasurer and as the district, working with a group right now to make sure that we can get that hold harmless out there. But we're working very diligent on that. But that's an area that we have to really pay attention to. So there's the revenue, the $575,000 that keeps going down. Those are from our last sets of House Bill 264. We pay off a certain amount every year, about $50,000.
Can I ask one quick question?
Sure.
Going back to the real estate tax. When are those valuations coming out, the new?
They have to be certified to the Department of Taxation. They've sent them the preliminaries to them, and usually they're out in November, December. They get a set of preliminaries back, and then it's time that people can say, they can call in, or they get information to from the auditor, and if they disagree, they can talk to it, and then they send it back for the last set. But usually September, October, we have estimates.
So if businesses or people choose to appeal,
that's
whatever the evaluation is, do you know how long of a window they have? Like 90 days?
That's done in March.
By March?
By March of the following year, 2011. We're going through some right now on Board of Revision cases that will be...
For a year.
For a year ago, exactly, for the 2009.
So when do you find out that someone has appealed? How many levels does it have to go through? Is it immediate that you find out that someone's appealing it, or does it get
we
to a
only
point?
Find out if it's over, I think it's $17,000 of actual value, or some. It's either between $17,000 or $35,000 of actual value that we find out. If it's anything less than that, we don't find out about it at all. So it has to be a certain percentage, and I can't remember right off the top of my head what that amount is, Tracy. I'd have to look it up and let you know. And there's not that many. From the ones I've seen, we haven't had a lot of them. At the personal level, at the business level, yes, there's been quite a few.
And the businesses will be the same timeline?
Same timeline.
The reason I was asking was about what was going on in the southern part of Sterling. Was that Duke Energy?
That's
down in the Cincinnati area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's they want to change the way that they're funded, period. Too, they want to get away. They want to be funded exactly like a regular commercial instead of as a utility. Okay, so then we start looking at our salaries, our expenditures. I'm going to go back to this original. Originally, when we made that flip, it was $29.9 million in salaries, in personal services, that's salaries. What we've done is take everybody, I've got a chart of everybody's salary, of what they're going to be making this year. And these are our actual salaries. It also includes any type of stipends that we might be giving out. It includes substitutes. It includes everything. And right now it's $29,505,000. So that's over $400,000 just in savings by double checking where we're paying our personnel and putting it into the forecast from a year ago to now.
Does that also go back to realizing some savings from, like, buyouts?
Absolutely. This has, what I've done is, as we go through and replace somebody, the old person comes out, the new person goes in. I'll also have to say, this may go up, because just today we had 6 staff members, and I think I've got some that I've already, I haven't even looked at in email, that have went from maybe a BA to a master's. So as they go to the next level, that increases. So I'm going to be making those corrections on this. So this is not a steady number right now. It's still moving right now.
But it's still less than what we
Yes, it's still, oh, absolutely. It's not going to be, I mean, if you look at 6, it might be another $12,000 in that one. But there's just things that we have to keep looking at all times. Same way with the employees' benefits, those are up a little bit. And I think some of that is because I've got some things posted in there twice right now for appropriation-wise. As we've been talking, we've got to watch what we're doing with the new funding model. We have to readjust everybody's account codes. So I know that there's several areas that we had put everything in once as a building, and I'm going to give an example. STRS for Edgewood, it was put in at a lump sum for the whole building, say it was $100,000. Then we put it in again by grade level, so much for kindergarten, so much. I need to make sure that we've taken that $100,000 out and we don't have that. We caught a lot of it last week. I just want to double check and make sure that we don't have more of them in there. So we're looking at those, double checking all those. The purchase services, those are up some. There's also one other thing on retirements I want to double check, talk to you about. SCRS has a thing called surcharge where SCRS employees pay for, that's part of the employer's portion that they have to pay for the insurance benefits. That has been based on how much people make over the years. They came out this spring and said, you have to make that payment back up to us, and you're going to do it in the next year. The amount of that makeup for the district is $84,000 this year. So they're collecting on what could have been collected throughout the years, but they want to make it in 1 year for the district. So that's the amount that we're paying out extra. So that amount's not going to go down proportionately to what our salaries, just because of that $86,000 that we have to pay.
is this payment of some sort of error or a change, or is this?
It's a change of how they're doing business.
So is every district affected
every district
by this?
Every district in the state is affected.
Is this
going to
be like an annual thing?
They want their money sooner.
It has been an annual thing. I mean, the $85,000 is.
It's an annual thing from years.
You pay a surcharge for.
Yeah.
For your staff. If your staff members don't work the number of days on average that other,
or don't make an average salary,
you pay into the retirement system at average, even though you're on the SERS side, right. You pay a surcharge
because they don't make average.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but their benefits come out at average.
Like Bernie Madoff.
What in the?
Wow.
Yes.
I'll hand it to the state. They know how to get that done.
You know, it's out of our control, though. It's totally out of our control.
I understand that.
So that's. I just want you to know that will not, unfortunately, that's not going to change. In the purchase service area.
Let me understand this. If we hire employees at a lower rate, you know, like step 0 to 5, we are, in fact, going to incur additional.
You don't know. The problem is, Jeff, you don't know that until it's done.
No, I'm just
because, for instance, a food service first person, they might be working 3 hours a day.
Right.
But they work every day. Mm-hmm. So their average is less than the average going into this. You're paying a surcharge for that person.
Yeah.
And you're probably still better off, but you're still being penalized for actually being efficient.
It used to be an amount of like $12,500 was the salary. It's now $25,000.
Right.
Oh, and you don't, they won't make you pay any more than 2% more than what you paid last year.
Right.
But
it's still big numbers.
But it's still big numbers. And this is part of that catching up everybody, because they didn't think that everybody had paid that. We were paying it through the foundation formula, so they wanted to get everybody's money caught back up.
So they made up for investing in coins or whatever.
So that was one thing that our proportionate is not going to go down the same proportionate as our personnel services, even though it should. Then the following year it will. It should, but we'll watch it. The purchase service area, one large piece in that is our open enrollment students and our tuition. Students going out. We had an increase of students that went out last year by 15% over the year before from what was in there. So that increase, we've had to add that in there. Again, I'm talking with the special education department, talking about tuition for students that are being placed in other places. We have students that are court placed out. We have to pay tuition for this. Districts that are educating those foster kids that their parents live here are going to other districts. We have to pay for that. So those are areas that we have to watch. Supplies and materials, we've pretty well kept that to a minimum on the increase. That some of those areas I still think need to be refined. Just looking at numbers. Again, we've had to make a lot of changes in the accounting structure. We have a chart of accounts, just to give you the number, the astronomical number. We have a chart of accounts that's 245 pages long, has 53 lines on each page. So that's the number of accounts that we have to deal with. And so we want to make sure that everybody's posted correctly. The capital outlay, we said no equipment this year except for whatever's necessary, and mostly that is in site management with the maintenance department, that $18,000. No other was what Larry and I this spring thought, well, if there's a place to save, that's a place that we can go without equipment if we have, you know, if something happens that we absolutely have to, then we can look at it, but that's an area that we just aren't going to give everybody a budget for. So with that, we were able to bring that bottom line down on 7.02 from that 3.1 to 6.58 for next year. And this year is 4.1 as our cash carryover into next year. So that is good news, that we've been able to do those things. It's because of the things that have been done prior to, and we just continued through it.
It looks like only 200,000 of it's due to expense savings, though, unless I'm looking at the comparison.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, exactly. You've got 400,000. You've got an increase in your benefits and your purchase services. Yeah, quite a bit of it's within that other, but
the revenue
area. But that is very much so. If we didn't have those, we wouldn't have any balance at all next year.
Right, of course.
So that was the good news that we were able to get through the forecast.
The other part of that is if you have it in here, worst case, if it doesn't end
Absolutely.
Up being worst case, it ends up helping the bottom line there too. So we'll pay very close attention. This is a election year, as our TVs are telling us all the time about. So we'll, all that could change. I mean, you know, we could change parties, we could change what's going to get funded, how much the percent of reduction is, if there is a percent of reduction. I mean, it's hard to say it's going to be a minus 30% or zero or whatever. I mean, again, we $2 million swing to 2012 is a big deal. You go out to 2014 and start talking about holding us harmless for tangible property, that's a $4 million swing. I mean, all of a sudden you start talking about real money. And so all those things we have to watch very closely. We have to work very hard as a community and as a board to make sure that the legislators know how important that tangible is to us. I mean, that's a big, big number for us. And we're going to have to replace that by almost 13 mils just to stay even locally if that's not replaced. So I don't think any of us want to have that conversation out there. We just don't. But how are you going to reduce back the number, $4 to $5 million? It's very difficult to do.
So how are those lobbyists working out with that?
Well, I think they're doing pretty well, actually. They're but again, with it being election year, we're not going to know the fruits of the labor until for a while, because nobody's going to take a stand.
But this is this is the last year on that extension, is it not?
Yes.
And so after election, someone's going to have to do something.
Our best hope is lame duck.
You're going to have a change of governor or not a change of governor, but whoever the governor is has to present a budget by February.
Mm-hmm.
So, you better be working now with those people. I mean,
it hasn't been, nothing has happened in the House or the Senate yet on that, has it?
No. I mean, it happened a year ago and then it was vetoed out.
Right. Strickland vetoed it out.
Correct.
So the lobbyists are trying to get it moving again.
Correct.
But it hasn't moved either through the House or the Senate.
It has not.
I don't see much moving these days.
No, I don't think you'll see anything
in
the House
until
after November.
Senate
is doing a little bit, but House is doing much more.
I don't see anything moving at all on any of it.
All right, so does this forecast take into account, again, I think our discussion the last couple times about the path that ODE has been setting for us, saying a minimum of 20, a maximum of 30 in their reduction in funding come next year, unless they hit the lottery or something?
It takes into consideration what they've given us so far. As far as, does it take into consideration the staffing increases that we need? No.
It doesn't take into account that 20% to 30% reduction that they've been talking about.
Yes, it does.
It does take that.
Yes.
Was that what you?
Yeah, that was my question.
Yes. 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 That's what I said. That's why I went to 13.
All right then. Okay, so that this forecast does take that into account. Yeah,
it's okay. I get it now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So on that particular question that we've had, this takes that into account.
Yes, that's the worst case. This is the worst case scenario that I can see right now.
Okay. What that?
As far as for the.
But what it doesn't take into account, I think, is all day, everyday kindergarten. If we can't waiver out of that next year.
No.
Correct.
Does not. Which, that'd be another 5 teachers, I believe.
What do we estimate the startup cost of that to be?
A little over $1 million.
$1 million, and then moving forward. It's still $1 million a year?
Yeah.
Okay. To run that?
I mean, basically you're hiring 7 or 8 more people.
Yeah, depends on
how. Teachers and busing. And
busing, you have to add busing?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's 2 buses you'd have to add on those kids on an everyday basis.
Mm-hmm. Probably another 8 or 3.
Now, assuming that nothing's going to change with Hospital 1. I know, but that's what we know now, though. I mean, we can't assume that's what we know.
That's what you know.
So
that's
we know now, what is the law that says, well, okay, for K-3, we have to be at 19-1.
Yeah.
I mean, when does that have to take place?
I don't know. I wish I could tell you. It's law.
It's law, and they gave us a reprieve for these 2 years. Right.
For
and
which 2 years? For 10-11?
And this year.
And this year. Fiscal year 10 and fiscal year 11, they gave us a reprieve. They gave the district.
That's the reason you have to kind of look at your numbers, compare your numbers to what you know, and compare your numbers to what the past are. It's a learning curve for all of us. Because they've added some staff that we don't even count, really. I mean, we'd have to add nurses and
community liaisons,
and
isn't that what we are?
Special workers and all that kind of stuff.
Master teachers.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever that is.
Is that like your team leaders now?
I'm not sure what it is.
But they wouldn't be teaching at all. They'd be team leaders only.
Correct.
My understanding of them, they would not be a teacher.
I'm sure those would be fully funded.
Will be taken into account per student.
Yeah, that counts in there probably.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
But you just have to have them.
We say we're still trying to figure out what pass means and what the stipulations are and the requirements are. Who do we look to for that?
ODE.
Okay. So
good luck with that.
Well, the only reason I ask is I looked at it and I was just looking at it and I didn't see anything in a sub requirement. And again, I'm not a lawyer.
The requirement by law. It is a requirement by law.
Okay.
What they've allowed you to do is not to be blind to the law for at least these 2 fiscal years. Till a year from now. That's the reason why, you have to pay attention to 2 different models.
Right. I guess it's such an important thing. I'd like to know for a fact that that's a requirement. I know you're saying that is, but I'd like to see it. And I know I shot an email to some other board members that it's not, it's just standard. So there's doubt. And
our association said it's to law. You have to, you're held accountable to it. If I'm signing on papers, and I've signed an awful lot of paper, I can pay attention to it.
It's my understanding there was still an open Senate bill out there that kind of gave you a little bit of wiggle room if you were...
It's kind of kindergarten and body mass index and all the wonderful other things.
Yeah, well, I'll say if you were an excellent district, you would have a little bit of leeway about how you want. I just said it's a...
Maybe, was, maybe not. You know,
well, that's what the bill said.
I know
what
the bill
said,
but I don't know.
But again, that's not going anywhere.
I remember that last week.
Yeah.
And it's mainly because they aren't funding at all. If they would be funding at all, they would be requiring us to do it all. But they can't really say, well, you've got to do it all and not give us the money.
Right.
Yeah, because it's way underfunded.
Way underfunded.
Yeah, it would be very unfair.
It would be great if we had all the funding that they said we should have.
Yeah. All right, so for looking at next year, we obviously look... We look pretty good for next year.
Well, I don't know whether you look pretty good.
For this year, we look okay.
We look better than we did, certainly, for this year.
We might have a whole day of true cash.
Yeah, one day.
So looking forward, what are we? What's the recommendation from? I mean, where are you looking at?
I think you still have to look and look at your options. You have to know kind of where you are and what your plan would be if, you know, the flood happens.
Right.
If we have to reduce back, you know, $4 million, and we're not willing to pass a levy, you know, what areas are we willing to go into this community and talk about?
Sure.
That has to be the issue. Mm-hmm. Because regardless of who sits in my chair and regardless of who sits in your chairs, it's still a community decision at what level they fund their schools.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think it's right to sit there and drop a program without having a
You have to have a bunch of conversations.
Absolutely.
So that's really, I think, our goal. You know, what, where can you trim at the elementary? Where can you trim at the middle levels and the high school? You know, we've taken that, and we're going to talk about it next month, the performance audit. It's a heart. I mean, we've taken a hard look at some of that stuff. We know what that performance audit says about us in some of the areas now better than what we did then. And we've also taken a look at other school districts and what they're doing and so on. As I said earlier, some school districts have eliminated many of their aides, but because of that, doing things differently. You know, like the startup of school and the end of school and recess duty and those kinds of things. They just have decided to take on more liability. I get uncomfortable with that. And some school districts at the high school level have eliminated study halls. Because of that, then their day looks different. It may be a 6-period day, maybe a 7-period day, maybe a 5-period day. 5-period day, you're alternating classes on every other day basis. That'll drive parents crazy. Kids will probably get used to it pretty quickly. But you're making some choices about what gets offered at school. You know, it's much like Olin Tangi just went through with the orchestra. You know, when we used to have orchestra 20 years ago, it was an issue. But as you start eliminating those programs, you know, what do? A band is a period. Is a band a period at high school? Music a period at high school? I don't know. You know, those are tough questions. And some, you know, but it takes a bigger audience. You know, you have to have some conversations. But I think you still have to go down that conversation. You still have to have what it is and what you can reduce and what you can't.
Sure.
You know, I know the one goes hand in hand. If there is a need for, which we know this is going to happen, a levy in order to help offset some of this, then we get to talking about what we're going to have to cut. It just seems like that's so much of a threat to the community. Yep. And I, like I said, I know they go hand in hand, but we've got to find a different way of delivering that message that doesn't come on as being a punishment because you didn't pass the levy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think you feed that list through your standards committee, or you know what I mean? And you have them look and you say, look, this is what we're talking about. You know, what do you people think about it? And you go that route about it instead of the board sitting there saying, we're going to cut this. I mean, we've gone to our standards committee. We've presented them with a litany of things we can do, and we've asked them to go out to the community and take that on a little bit and say, you know, prioritize that list. And you know, if we can't do it over here, we're asking you, weigh those options.
Yeah, even with that list, though, I'm just saying it's got to be creative in the way we deliver that message. Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult because, again, some people see those as just threats. You know, yeah. The city, perfect example, didn't talk about them.
Right. Went through the
whole
program.
Went through it and then cut afterwards without saying a word, got beat up because they didn't say anything.
I know that. I'm just saying.
And now they're talking about it, and now they're getting beat up because
they're talking about it.
Yeah. So it depends on what the conversations you're having and what you're willing to say to folks. And some folks are not going to, they don't want taxes regardless. And some folks want program regardless.
So we need to be more proactive in the information that was shared, like you said. We need to get that out there and let them know that we're running pretty good as a district. And, you know, the thing is, I guess I'm...
But the state's not.
Well, the state's made life pretty rough for Marysville.
That's what I mean. We're running pretty good, but the state's not running real well. Yeah.
Yeah. Despite the state, we're running pretty well.
Yeah. Exactly.
What do you think the possibilities of maybe Dave Burke coming in and speaking with us at one of our board meetings? Isn't he on the Finance and Appropriations Committee?
Yeah.
Would he have? I'm hopeful he would have some insight into what's going on with the funding.
I can ask Dave to come in.
Or even Kinsey, his aide.
Yeah,
he would
Kinsey
be preferable
would be
to Kinsey.
I think part of the, you know, when we talk about the communication issue is that when we look at the five-year forecast, we all know where the majority of the expenses are. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about cutting that line item, and it, maybe it's because of unfair labor practice fears, that we can only talk about one half of that, and that is reduction in staff. And so that always impacts services, but we can't talk about the opening up negotiations with the unions or to talk about the other possibility there, which in the private sector is probably more of a, you know, common thing that you freeze salaries and stuff like that when you're in the private sector, when you have to have those type of budget savings. And that conversation never makes the table, never makes the press, and that might be where a big source of frustration comes from when we start talking about nickel and diming services like pay-to-play fees and stuff.
Well, I think we can have those conversations with the MEA where they're appropriate, and I don't think there's, at least I don't think there's anything wrong with saying we sat down and talked with the MEA right. about it without having to go into a...
And I agree. I don't know if that's ever happened. I don't...
I don't know. The staff has been pretty amazing around here.
That's the thing.
Talking to Olentangy, Olentangy's staff... You know, our staff, half a percent?
Yeah.
And Olentangy's, and we asked our staff then for an additional, they got 0.75%. Olentangy's refused to give up 2.8.
But see, that's where people get frustrated, because all I did was talk about having the conversation, but then right away, it's almost like there's a block. It's like, well, look how good we're doing. And that's where the frustration comes in. I understand the staff's done great, and I understand all that stuff. I'm just saying that my only point is that it's never put on the table as a way of dealing with the budget shortfall.
It's always been on the table for the budget shortfall. Okay. When I take look at where our salaries are compared to everybody else's. Look at where our benefits are compared to everybody else's.
You just want to have it out there. Doesn't mean we want to cut. We just want to say we talked about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's all.
Jeff mentioned that. And that's all I was getting at.
Not to reduce or cut. Just say it was on the table and it was discussed. I understand what you're saying, but I tell you, we have a really good district here, and we have had one in the past several years. And it's because of our staff. And I know you keep saying this, but I've just been here for too many years. I had some of these people in this room here as a teacher at one time or another. But I can remember it's always been, an excellent school district. And here we are. I know if I was making less money, and I know this is not what you're suggesting, making less money and there's other districts that could pay me more, I'd have a hard time not considering moving on. And I think we have to. I know that dollar amount doesn't allow it, but we have to be fair to our staff.
And I agree.
We just have to be. And that's not what you're saying.
It was not what I was saying.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Was there any other questions on the forecast? Anything else that you want to see on there? Was there a separate discussion you wanted to have?
I would like to have a separate discussion if we could. Executive meeting.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. I thought that's what you meant.
Well, I was going.
Just to talk about that, what we...
Personnel?
Yes, because it's such a touchy thing to talk about right now.
Personnel, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Personnel. Was there any other business that we'd like to discuss in open session before someone makes a motion and a second to go into executive session?
Not that I have anything to... But I thought there was more addendums to
this one.
The one I got here,
What was that from?
Oh, that's an old one. I printed this off today.
I didn't see that one.
2009.
Wow, right? Last time you read your email? Or?
Okay, I'm ready.
I did have a question.
I've been that right off today, too.
Go ahead.
We were talking about extracurriculars, and make sure I got this right.
Oh, I missed that.
There's $800,000 we spent on extracurriculars.
Ish.
Ish. And $500-ish is the district's
contribution to that.
Do boosters help out with the? Do boosters kick into that fund? Is that included in the 500, or is that included in the?
No.
It's not included in any of it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. Cool.
Okay. Anybody else have anything they'd like to interject before we go into executive?
All the other addendums.
I'll be happy to open it up quickly if anybody has any comments they'd like to make before we go into executive session.
Well, I'd say MBA is ready, looking for another year. So we've had a pretty good summer, and we've gotten a few things worked out. So I think it's nice to get here and get started. And it's good to see where we're going with money. And who knows what's coming down the pike. But I think, you know, we can keep working together, and we can make things happen.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that. Like I said, we've had a pretty good relationship with the MEA. Certainly, in as many union shops that I've had to be a part of, this particular relationship is one of open communication, more of a partnership than your typical union management relationship. And I certainly would like to, whatever comes down the pike, I would prefer that we have it as a conversation, you know, instead of a battle, if you will. Exactly. So, like I said, the issues are going to come up. It's, you know, depending on what happens with the state, I'm sure they're going to come up. But I don't see why those can't be solved by having that conversation first, you know, at the same side of the table instead of yelling at each other from both sides. Because you yell louder than I do. So, anybody else want to add anything to this? If not, then the motion to go into executive session?
Motion on, or so moved.
Then a second?
Second.
Moved to second. There will be no action taken after our executive session other than just to go home.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had to get you out of here. Let me eat pizza.
Yeah. So roll call.
I haven't had enough.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes. Yes. Okay, we are in executive session. So you all are going to have to go home.
Cut the machine.
We're out.
Cut the machine, Ma. Cut the machine, Ma.
Oh. Not yet.